Clean it.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 438, recorded live on February 10th, 2016. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks.
And Taz fell. And Taz just fell off the planet. You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it.
And Taz 427
reappears. How you doing, guys?
Hello.
Had a little technical difficulty there, Mr. Taz.
Yeah, had to go kick the router.
Modern technology, I love it. No matter how much we love all the high advances, you still got to kick the damn thing in the side just to get it going.
Well played, sir.
Well played. All right, good stuff. Let's see, not too much geocaching this week. It has been cold. I don't know, winter has finally struck in the area, and it's one of those things where we're ready to get the tulips and the daffodils to come up popping, and now it's supposed to go down into the teens. So it's nasty cold here, and wife Amy is one of those type people that, I mean, I'm from Michigan. I can tolerate most of it, even though I have to admit I am a bit put into now being from the South for the past 8 years. So I'm not as rambunctious to jump out into minus degree weather with 40-mile-an-hour winds and going out in that.
So you've turned into a wuss.
I'm a wuss. Yes, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the official term.
There's another term, but, you know, I'm not going to say it. But
Well, it's cold here in Chicago, too, to make you feel any better.
Wow, cold in February in Chicago.
Yeah,
in
Chicago. Shocking, I know, right? Yeah. I actually got into my FTF for the month, though. I got it early February.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to wake up at 7 in the morning. I look at my phone, or 7:30. I look at my phone, and there, hey, something published a couple miles away in the woods. You got to go for that, you know. So threw some clothes on. It was cold morning. I actually periscoped it.
Wow.
Anybody who saw it. Yeah, it's got the FTF at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I don't
know. Good start to the day.
I don't know what's scarier, you getting up 8 o'clock in the morning to go find it, or the individual that actually went out and hit it.
It was nice, though. It was actually hidden in the woods. They actually got permission. How about that?
That's awesome.
It was in the forest preserve, so it got permission the whole nine yards.
Dang. Yeah,
and aside from that, you know, it was a kid weekend last weekend, so aside from went to a couple of events. You know, I went to a Patsky one yesterday, because it was the big day, and went to one on the, you know, we, you know, at Gono, the group that, you know, geocachers in northeastern Illinois.
Sure.
Or Northern Illinois. You know, we have a cache of the month every month. You know, people nominate and and then they have a big awards thing at the end of the year. And so it was time for the awards show where all the monthly ones got a coin and then the winner got a cache of the year coin.
Oh, neat.
Oh, that's cool.
Whoever won cache of the year instead of just cache of the month. So went to that. Me and Jesse went to that. Brought the kids along. Went to that dinner. It was fun. So, one cache and two events, and people have been finding my caches that I hid. Remember when I did all that cache maintenance and I did those two hide? People
have
been finding those, so it's been good. You know, new cache for everybody, so it's been good.
Good stuff. Good. Mr. Taz, how about yourself?
Yeah, we had a record high, 72 degrees this past weekend out here, so had to definitely go out and grab a cache. Managed to grab a puzzle cache that I had solved a good while back in a traditional cache, but I DNF'd a challenge cache. The challenge also has a friggin' multi/letterbox component to it, and I couldn't find the information at stage one, so I'm not sure if it went MIA or if I'm just I just suck at geocaching.
It's your geosense is off. That's all.
That's it. It's just going to be higher tuned into the. What it is just like you have with a GPS. You got to reset when you go from one state to the other. So otherwise, your cords are off.
Right. But I almost ran out during the Super Bowl for first to find, and if it wasn't for Peyton Manning playing in the Super Bowl, I probably would have ran out to go run after a first to find on a puzzle that's not too far from here. It's like I solved the puzzle in a few minutes, and GeoChecker was there and put it in there. It's like, yay, I'm first to put to solve the puzzle. No, I'm 2 minutes late to first to solve the puzzle. I would have ran out to try to grab that first to find, but Super Bowl was on and the Broncos were winning, and so
being from North Carolina, I wish I had a first to find that came up to go out after. I'm just saying.
Right.
I mean, this is the first time out of my adult life since I was from Michigan. And oddly enough, you didn't see any Lions players as MVPs for some reason when they showed all of them up there. And so
a team that has never made it to the Super Bowl doesn't have any MVP players.
Exactly. Yeah, go figure. So when it came down to actually having your own state's team in the Super Bowl, what can I say? You know, they tried their best, as much as I wanted North Carolina to kick their butts, I really wanted to see Peyton Manning go out with a Super Bowl ring. I really did for that. So, you know, there's always next year for those guys. Anywho, let's move on. We've got the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week for Geo Gearheads is Puzzles 4. Jennifer Kidder returns to talk about creating geocaching puzzles with Daryl and Chris. And I have absolutely nothing in my notes for what I've got tomorrow. So guess what I'll be doing after tonight is trying to figure out what we're going to be talking about tomorrow on the show. So
way to prepare him.
You know, it's one of those weeks. It's just been one of those weeks. But we'll definitely talk about something with geocaching. I'm sure it was involved. It's good. It's either that.
The Amy special. She has to come up with a topic on the fly.
That would be funny. I think that would be great. Those great big doe eyes in the spotlight. I think it would be fantastic. And then I'll be sleeping on the couch for the next week. So anyways, that's how that goes. And by the way, folks, please, 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 we have literally thousands of people that listen and watch our show each and every week. Please consider becoming a patron to our show and a contributing factor to help keeping the Geocaching Podcast a-going. We greatly appreciate it. Just go on to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either Patreon or the PayPal and throw a couple bucks to us each month. We would greatly appreciate it. It costs money to do podcasts, and quite frankly, we couldn't do it without you and the patrons already. So thank you so much for the ones that are contributing. And for the rest of you, get on board, folks. Just saying. Let's move on. We've got the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, do you always log your DNFs or did not finds? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that only 1 out of 10, or 10% of cachers, always log their DNFs. For the majority of us, well, it depends. So here's what we heard. James on Facebook shared, always, my logs are the story of my caching day. If I didn't post the DNFs, the story would be incomplete. I like that theory there, that way you think about that, James. Well, Jim shared, most always. Sometimes I don't, but only because I didn't look very hard, especially when looking for a cache in a high muggle area. Another Jim brings up a good point. He shared, it depends. I always cache with my bride or a group. Is it really necessary for us to all DNF when one should suffice? You know, Jim, I think you're right. Probably one. Rebecca shared, yes and no. If everyone else is finding it, then I have probably just missed it. But when I look more than three times for a specific cache, then I start logging my DNF. Well, most of us will log a DNF only if we've had a good amount of time to thoroughly search an area, and also if there are previous DNFs, too, that have been logged. And I'm in this group, too. I'll log a DNF if I've had a good chance to look, often more than one trip. My husband, on the other hand, will most always log a DNF, and he tracks that stat, too, and he's very proud of it. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about logging DNFs, and you can, too, if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And this is a lot of fun. We do about once a month. We do the Cacher Coffee, which basically is we just go through and find different subjects of which to just have discussions about, so people can sit back and get their favorite hot beverage or beverage of choice, whatever works for you, and some good listening time to whatever we come up with. It could be geocaching, it may not, but I think we got some pretty good subjects this week. And so, guys, we apparently Chad and I already, because what we do is we put out in our show notes, hey, just put out your ideas and we'll go from there. Apparently we totally stomped over Scott Burks when it came to ideas.
You did. I had two ideas and you both took them. That's what I get for being late to the party, for my show notes.
Which ones? We've got definitely one gorilla in the center of the room that we can hit at any time. But since we stomped on you, Scott, which one do you want to go over?
Let's go. If you're avoiding the gorilla, then let's go for Arizona.
Okay,
because that hits close to home to me.
Yeah, this is awesome.
From Arizona, but as I was talking about, was it last episode or two episodes ago? I was talking about this.
Yeah,
About how where I live in Kane County, they are very sticklers about placing in preserves here, and you have to go through many hoops to get in. You know, and the first hoop is actually getting them on the horn or getting them to respond to you.
Right,
that's one of the hoops. And then going through the hoops of actually getting it placed and reviewed and approved and all that stuff. Well, Arizona, I don't have the article up in front of me, but in a nutshell, I'm sure we're having these in the show notes, Arvin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Arizona has where they are, they had that where it was illegal to do it, and then they changed the law.
Yeah.
Or was it a law, or was it in the?
It was in the bylaws for the park system, the state land
the
developments.
Park system. Yes, that's right. Yes.
And they actually got the government governor Doug Ducey recently ordered the reversal of this policy that banned the form of geocaching in those state parks and other public recreational areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been an interesting process, and I know the people in North Carolina have been, I know NCGO and a bunch of other people have been steady advocates to try to get a better policy for geocaching on state lands. And it's been a long process, and apparently it has been for this too. I think they said it was prohibited for like 2 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and what I found the most interesting in the article, it actually was comes out of the Arizona Republic. And one of the things, and I think this happens much more often than not, the initial rulings for these lands where they go, no, can't have geocaching, it's destructive, right. Blah, 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 right. They're totally misunderstood. The entire concept of geocaching is completely misunderstood by usually a few handful of people. Unfortunately, those people have the power to say yay or nay, and then you're stuck. And you get into these situations where, no, this is good. This is why this is good. And this is how this can help your state. I mean, let's face it. You talk to WV Tim. I'm sure that you can find out really quickly the benefits of what this could do for a community or a state. And many states are getting on board with this. They literally say in here that it was, let's see, where do they hit on here? I just want to say, Ducey said the prior policy had misunderstood geocaching and literally talked about how you have to have an account and there are coordinates involved and this isn't something that you can just drop and go. You have to go through a policy for it and all the rest of it. And they didn't understand the game and said no.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody, I'm sure through a lot of work, went through and said, hey, look.
I know. Kudos to the people in Arizona.
The people that were, whoever got involved with this.
Yeah, they did. It said Arizona cashers got involved. So kudos to those people who got involved. Because I'm sure it was not an easy process.
Yeah, no, they.
Plus, the geocachers going to the parks are bringing the money.
Yes. Yeah, that's, come on. We know this one. I mean, dollar signs are definitely something
And you know what? DuPage County here in Illinois, they see it. Crystal Lake, a suburb out, in northern Illinois, they see it. These are all the ones that give coins and the ones that do the geo tours. They see it. They know. DuPage County absolutely knows how much geocachers bring to them. You know, they have a Facebook page, and all they do is post pictures and thank the geocachers and let us know that their coins are running out or they just got a new batch. You know, like, they love it. They love
us. Oh, yeah.
It pumps probably so much money into their system.
Yeah.
And they appreciate it. They know. Somebody there gets it. And I'm glad somebody in Arizona finally got it.
Yeah.
You know, but I wish Kane County would get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
And the guidelines for this, according to the article that I'm looking at here, are not. This is totally acceptable. They said that the memo was issued January 27th by Land Commissioner Lisa Atkins, outlining new geocaching rules for state trust lands, saying the following. And there's like five things. So geocachers will have to pay a $15, $15. Okay, really? For a recreational permit to go hunting for small treasures on state land. Okay.
Wait, is this every time or just once a year?
It doesn't say, but for a recreational permit, you know what? It's you go into Michigan, you have to pay to go into a state park or have a permit.
Really?
So if this is a permit, that's probably a year-long permit, I would assume, because that's about the price range for a year-long permit.
Okay.
So if you go to Michigan, if you go on any state park anywhere, you have to pay either the day fee or the permit for the year, which to me is...
If I lived in Arizona and it was loaded with caches, I would not have an issue paying $15 a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Objects left behind on state land for geocaching cannot be bigger than a shoebox, hazardous or harmful or considered high in value. Fair enough.
Okay.
I was going to say, did you?
Applies to geocaching.
I was going to say, did you see our swag? Let's see. The state isn't liable for reimbursing geocachers for lost items left behind. That's already in the rules.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I want my $6 back.
Let's see. State officials can remove and destroy caches at any time. You know what? Burning happens all the time. Other things happen that you got to go through.
Absolutely.
And
burnings definitely happen all the time.
Oh, yeah. And it's not like it's on purpose or things like that. But obviously, if there's a situation that they feel that this is in a sensitive area, blah, 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 taking out a cache, I don't think is asking too much, as long as it's not going the other way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that, and they don't have to notify geocachers when lands go up for lease or sale, which,
None of those are crazy. Aside from $15 might be the only issue people would have, but aside from that, there was no issues.
Nope.
That's easy.
This is nothing. This is nothing compared to a lot of the other ones where you have to write a document in blood.
I think Kane County got to give me your firstborn.
Toby
or to put a cash there.
Yeah. So I see nothing wrong with this, and I think it's great, and I think they're going to see the benefits of
I think Arizona in about 2 years, maybe in about even a year, they're going to see, a lot more people attending their parks.
Oh yeah,
And they're gonna. I'd love to see like their park permit. Like, so I'm assuming you got to pay a permit. Like, how much the price is? What they brought in.
Oh, absolutely.
2016.
Yeah.
The difference between that, because I'm sure it'd bring in a ton.
Yeah. And like I said, you go to some of these states, they already have a permit process anyway, so what's the deal? You're usually used to paying it yearly anyways, and away you go. So if you do anything else besides geocaching, like camping, hiking, you know, whatever, you're doing it already.
You're paying it already.
Yeah. So excellent stuff.
Good for that, man. That's awesome. I'd love to hear that. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Makes me tail wag.
That's it. All right. Taz, I'll let you take the next one if you want.
Okay. So there's an article published recently tying geocaching to graffiti about a missing child, William Terrell, in New South Wales, Australia. Basically, this child went missing a couple of years ago in 2014, and it turns out that the tree where he was, one of the areas where he was last spotted at, had a geocache there, placed there a couple of years before that. But someone decided to tag the tree with Jesus Saves William Tyrell. First of all, why are you spray painting a tree?
Yeah, this or a stump?
And then on top of this, it kind of gave geocaching a black eye from the way that the police officer or the police department represented this, indicating that it was a William Tyrell geocache there. They found the geocache and they assumed that the geocache was placed there by the people that tagged the tree with William Tyrell in there. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed mash of bad imagery there, both on the police slamming geocaching or geocachers based upon this activity, and then someone doing this in the first place. A little bit of background on William Tyrell. He was a little boy last seen in a Spider-Man outfit, or actually that's the picture that they used to try to find him. He went missing in 2014, and there's been a number of different potential sightings over the last couple of years trying to locate him, and they still haven't found him. There's a bunch of has been found articles out there, but they all turned out to be false.
Yeah. The kicker with this is this happened recently. This was done in Australia, if you're wondering the location that this had happened. There was a geocacher that had been logged about a week or two before somebody drove by, saw this graffiti that was on the log, went ape nuts over it.
Wait, it wasn't a log, it was on a tree.
Well, right? it's a tree log. It's a stump. Oh. Yeah. And somebody saw it and of course reported it in, and I, you know, obviously I would too for something like that. The police come in, they see the geocache and automatically make an association with it. This is going to get me going on the media. I'm not even going to start on the rest of it. Now, the interesting thing with this one is they found two representatives of which to name physically as apparently geocaching experts. I don't know where they get this. One was Mr. Scott Bergs.
Hey, that's me.
And the other one was Andrew Smith, which is...
My mom would be so proud. I'm an expert at something.
The other one was myself, and they took the information, which I thought was Keynote, which we will now be lived in infamy, was Scott about being drawn on by the police with guns.
Yes.
And me, the handy way of being a disguise expert by wearing, you know, construction outfits and things to blend in.
So he basically just quoted a Wall Street Journal article.
Exactly, from last year.
Cited, not quoted, air quotes cited here.
Yes.
Our Wall Street Journal.
And the kicker is they never actually talked to us. So
he never talked to me. No. Yeah, I got a Facebook thing from FireSafe saying, "Hey, you made it to Australia." I'm like, "Huh?" And he gave me the link to the article, and I'm reading the article. All of a sudden, boom, there's my name. I'm like, oh, hello.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting, and it's
wow. I didn't even see that. I was looking at a different article about this.
Yes.
Oh, really? You
didn't, yeah. I didn't even see it.
It was cited in an Australian newspaper.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So it's a shame. I feel terrible about the little boy. But this is just another example where people are given an assignment. And they're said, go find out what you can about this stuff. They put this stuff together. And even with this, I don't know how – it doesn't even say how much the police even – what the police actually said. So when they say slammed by geocaching, there's nothing in there about it.
Yeah.
But that's the headline.
It's one of those – it's one of those just – yeah, it, like yeah, like Taz said, just giving it a black eye.
Yeah.
It, it's literally what it's doing. You know, off air, Andy – I was telling Andy a story of something me and Walt read a couple of years ago. I think it was episode 99 of the Chicago Geocacher podcast. We're reading a real quick story. I'll sum it up. It's 2 minutes.
It's Cacher Coffee.
This kid. Mind you guys, this was an article about geocacher. Okay, committing murder is what it was. Now, what the story was about was a guy about 18, 19 years old. He had a girlfriend. His girlfriend dumped him, so he decided to kill her new boyfriend. The way he was going to do it is he was going to put anthrax on a card and mail the card to her new boyfriend. Now, he worked at Target, and he was bragging to people at work that he was going to do this. So, obviously, what did they do? They told on him. So he had the anthrax, and knowing the police, he got word that the police were looking for him. He hid the anthrax. And the writer goes on to say, the reason he hid the anthrax so well is because he was a geocacher.
Oh. Now,
what that has to do anything with the murdering of this girl's boyfriend is nothing. But this guy decided to add he was a geocacher and explain what the hell geocaching was for no other reason just to put a black eye on geocaching. It had nothing to do with it. Jeez. Absolutely nothing to do with it.
But
it's shit like that. It's stuff like that.
The
yeah, it's stuff like that. It's just like, it's really, you're just, you know,
yeah.
You're just being poo-poo to be poo-poo.
Yes.
You know, it irritated me because it's like, really, you know, that's just being a jerk to be a jerk.
Yeah. Well, what we did a show last year, not too long ago, when it had a situation where something about a bomb threat at a school and wasn't even related. And there was a geocache found like 2 weeks beforehand that caused a stir. And they pushed it together.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
they pushed it together and say, you know, geocache causes bomb scare, blah, blah, blah. It was two separate articles about two separate time periods, but let's just throw it together because we can.
Yeah.
And that just, that's part of the geocaching in the media that drives me nuts.
Yeah, like I said, like that article was like geocacher tries to commit murder or something like that. It's like, really? What? Huh? What?
And then there was the college students that duct taped the camera on the side of a bridge in Atlanta a couple of years ago and called out a bomb scare, and they tied it to geocaching.
It's yes.
Freaking geocache.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah.
The list goes on and on and on. It really does. I mean, I still can't get over the one about the police scoping out a gnome under a bush for hours.
A great story, yeah.
It's like, come on. I mean, I know it's important that they do the job that they do, and I'm not going against the police at all at this.
Absolutely not.
You know, they got to do what they got to do. It's the media that has no idea, does zero research, grabs a couple facts. I mean, this article with William, literally, you can see 5 or 6 references from different pieces that obviously the person Googled it and found a couple articles and grabbed a snippet from each and put it in and said, here's your article.
Well, you got to remember that what these guys, if they're getting paid at all, they're getting paid like $10 to write these articles. If they're getting paid. If they're getting paid.
Yeah.
They're probably not even getting paid. You know, so you got to remember what you're working with here.
Yeah.
This is the problem with media in this day and age. This you know, 21st century media.
Oh yeah,
I knew the world was going to shit a couple of years ago. Excuse my language.
That's all right.
When the Chicago Tribune fired every photographer they had, and what they did is they took their people, they took their news guys, and they bought them all iPhones and said, use your iPhone to take pictures.
Oh my God!
They actually fired their entire photography department. Yeah, that's when I knew. Like oh, okay, media's going to shit. That's
it,
media.
Yeah,
you know, it's like. Well, really? Like that's, you know, and then you've got these guys who, you know, these wannabe reporters, I guess, or guys. When some of them are fantastic, but most of them, you know, they're trying to make a little extra bucks, so they're whipping together these articles. like this one and the one of the kid, and yep. you know, how can I tie this? How can I make this more
readable?
Stick
out, yeah.
You know, yeah. What's give me a buzzword? Geocaching. That's a buzzword.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. nothing to do with, you know, it's. Yeah, nothing to do with it.
There are so many different types of publications out. And I'm not digging too much on certain things, but there's just a pattern that you see with this. There are so many publications out there where anybody can be a reporter. There's no background anymore. There's no such thing as a journalist. It's nope. Joe Schmo on an online blog that mm-hmm. writes for whatever Observer type online paper. And then once that goes out, anybody else that wants to grab it then takes that as the fact and then runs with it, and you're done.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, this guy, he cited me and you, never even talked to us, never even met us, nothing. At least the Wall Street Journal guy, I had a 2-hour conversation with this
right,
guy.
Right, exactly.
You know, this guy just cited me from this guy. You know,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And
you know?
even
it was a slam article.
It was.
That's what bothered me the most is it wasn't even a positive article. It was a total slam article.
Yeah, and I have to admit, even the one with the Wall Street Journal, he did his part, but you could tell the underlining tone of what he was going for. So tell me about the bomb alerts. Tell me about the mm-hmm. scary stuff that happens with geocaching. What happens if you do something wrong with the law? It went on that negative connotation of let me dig out the crap mm-hmm. about what can happen with you so we can make this article instead of, hey, why don't you come down here? We will show you the best, coolest things that you can right. find out about geocaching in this fun family entertainment that people love doing. Oh, no, we got to go for the other stuff. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And so, what's funny is that like the whole point of interviewing me was I was telling him about what to do with LEOs.
Yeah.
You know, like how to correctly do an LEO.
Right.
And, you know, and that was just one of the stories that I was telling him. And what did he pull? He pulled that story, obviously. So would I, you know, but.
Oh, by the way, you got pulled down with by guns from the police. Yeah, you know,
but this guy didn't even do that. I think the other guy actually mentioned my positive stuff. This guy yeah. didn't even do that. All he said was Scott Burks, a graphic designer who had a gun pulled on him, and
right.
that's it.
Yeah,
you know, like really, that wasn't even the point of that whole story. You know, like
yep,
that just shows you the media picking and choosing what they want. Yep. You know, and just using it.
It's yeah. amazing. It's amazing.
It really is. It's impressive.
All right, but we
never been to that side of the coin before. So
yeah, or that side of the planet. So we're international now. So that's
I know, right?
You will forever be the LEO king, and I'll be the Inspector Gadget disguise kit guy. I'm just saying.
Yep. Wow. I'll go to Andy for my geocaching anonymous tools.
Use glasses. It works for Superman. Go. All right, cool stuff. So yeah, that's interesting stuff. The other one, Chad, you had about the Bitcoin. What was going on with that one?
Yeah, there's a new iOS app called Takara, it hasn't come to Android yet. But it's you know, the article's about geocaching for Bitcoins, which you know, I don't think this is totally associated with geocaching. So, it's another using the catchphrase there. But it sounds like a geolocation based game where you go to the location, you find some information, you put it in there as the privacy key to unlock some Bitcoin or other stuff for the game. So, sounds like a interesting little game and using the Bitcoin as a way to drag some people in. I personally never used Bitcoin, so I don't think I'll be playing this even when it does come to
especially
Android,
isn't one of the largest heists for Bitcoin is
yeah, I thought
ever.
Bitcoin was going away. I thought it was going away. I thought
yeah, I keep on hearing
all I know is multiple.
Like somebody was a Bitcoin billionaire one day and then like broke the next because it just went in the crap. And
well, the founder of Bitcoin basically poo pooed on it. What, about a month ago?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it would be interesting. So, if you had a situation, I mean, not that we have electronic currency or anything, but would that make it more fun for people because you can find a couple of pennies here and there in your location finding?
I think that'd be cool. I'm not against Bitcoin at all. I mean, I think it's a cool idea. I just think, you know, once the you know the Russian mafia got a hold of it, you know, that's about it.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's a great idea. You know, in the e currency, so to speak, I think is a brilliant idea.
It'd be interesting. Hey, you know, I won a couple of bucks, or if they get somebody that sponsors something like this, or would people be willing to take some of their bitcoins and throw it in instead of swag? That would be interesting. So if you start going for some of them, especially some of the puzzle caches, make it a little more difficult, a little higher value. Yeah, who knows?
I'm all for it. Like I say, as long as you can go back and forth with it, I think if you had an electronic currency like Bitcoin, I think if you can go back and forth and like maybe exchange rates varied, kind of like they do with, you know, American British pound or American Canadian, you know, even if Bitcoin became like that, where it's an actual currency, because I don't think it's not a real currency right now. Taz, do you know anything about it at all?
Not too much. I know it's not a real currency. They use it in.
It was big in Japan for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a tax evasion scheme. Basically, it's a way to exchange e-money for services and goods without paying taxes on it. So
okay, so you can.
This is when we need Daryl. Daryl would totally.
Oh yeah, he would get this done.
Yes.
He'd be like, oh, yeah, Bitcoin was formed in 1987 by the Japanese guy Haramoto.
Basically, it's laundering, but that's all right. Yeah, so you can go through.
So, but if they could come up with a way to actually get it out of the Russian mafia.
Yes.
Bring, you know, to a stable place. But then you let the government do it, and they're going to tax the shit out of it, and that's it. We're done.
We're done.
But aside from that, if you can get it, the, you know, get it out of their hands and actually get it to be a real currency, we can go back and forth. I mean, that'd be genius.
Yeah,
I mean,
you never know.
Our dollars today are really electronic dollars, anyways.
Yeah. I mean,
how much of the money do you spend? Do you actually use hard currency for? None.
I still have to go to a vending machine. So yeah.
Yeah, very low percentage.
So, the
only benefit of Bitcoin is you evade taxes.
Yeah, but the difference between that is you actually, you know, if you're not using your card, you're using a credit card. That's the difference. I'm using a credit card online, and that I don't know. I guess
your account every time I put hacked, you can lose your bitcoins just as well.
Oh, can you? Like I was gonna say, like nobody's getting a hold of my credit. You know, if I'm using bitcoins, no one's getting a hold of my credit card account.
Right.
There has been massive theft of Bitcoin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But if it's generally useless, what's the point? Why stealing? You know.
You did something to earn the Bitcoin to begin with, so in theory, goods and services have been exchanged, so you got Bitcoin at some point. And so stealing it, you know, you've lost that potential investment of time, resources, whatever.
I mean, didn't Bitcoin go as far as, don't they have like Bitcoin ATMs and stuff? Didn't they go that far? They actually have those?
I know they were talking about it. I don't know if they implemented it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I don't think it's really huge right now because it only looks like about 100 of them actually went out. But I think for a type of geocache, I'm sure somebody somewhere that is forward thinking, just saying, could use this as a geocache type. I mean, that would be interesting. It doesn't have to be
like a little coin. That'd be the geocache type, like
a little dollar sign
in it. There you go. There's your type.
I think you could do something like that. Okay, if you don't want to go the money angle, how about a prize type situation where you could have electronic icons or something that you could find randomly placed. Munzee does something similar to that. I mean, it's you know, different things that they could have for that. Why not geocaching? I mean, heck, I just plain Waze during the holidays. You go driving around mindlessly down your path here, picking up, you know, candy canes and pumpkins and all the rest of it for points. You got to come up with something.
The points
like
that do nothing. What do those points do?
Nothing. But it's cool to have the little bloop 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 as it eats them as you go by.
They track you.
Yes.
What are they tracking?
Yes, because they want to know my habits.
Is to get you to provide your information back to
Google.
Track stuff.
It's a conspiracy. I know it.
Once Google bought it, that's when it went downhill.
Yeah. Oh, well, so yeah, this is interesting, though. I think that somebody's got something here where this could be something else, again, for somebody to grab the reins and say, hey, let's try this. It may not be the end-all, beat-all for everything, but it's a flavor of something that to try and see if you can come up with ways for doing that.
Yeah. So Takara, is that the name of the app? Is it?
Yeah, Takara, T-A-K-A-R-A.
That's in the iOS store?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, that sounds Japanese.
Yeah, just a smidge.
Yeah.
It is.
Check the App Store, hold on. Is it in the American App Store? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
I would assume it's in the American App Store since it was on the English site.
Oh, well, so let's see. Takara, yeah, there it is.
So there you go.
And there's a bunch of Takaras on Android though, but they're games. And
stuff. It actually says geocaching with Bitcoin.
Wow,
really? They're actually using geocaching.
Yeah, I wonder if Jeremy Irish knows about this. I wonder if Jeremy Irish knows about this.
I'm thinking that might be just a little bit of an infringement there.
Yeah.
I mean, geocaching is not a verb. It's a
trademark.
Yeah.
Oops!
I mean, it literally says geocaching with Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
You see, we find stuff and we tell people and we get other people in trouble. It's great.
Right? Oh, Bitcoin.
Wow. Yep. All right, well, good stuff. And, that's all part of the fun of media and see how things go. And, you know, it just shows that people are trying to do other things and somebody's going to find that magic number and do something that just drives people crazy.
Yeah. Well, when's that Pokemon?
I was just going to say Pokemon. I saw a flash in one of the Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, you see that one? Yeah.
And it was there, baby. They had the little animated Pokemon ball and all. Everything's ready to go. And so that's coming out this year. I'm just saying.
Yeah, my 11-year-old was asking me, he's like, what's that? I'm like,
this is going to be fun.
He's like, I like Pokemon.
How about you want to go find them for real? Let's go.
Damn. Yeah, I noticed the commercial out of the corner of my eye, and I was wondering if it's a video, if that was for a video game or if that was for the Ingress type app that they're working on.
It was for neither. I think it was for Pokemon's 20th anniversary.
Right, but it actually shows the gizmo that they're going to be using in Pokemon Go. So yes. Okay. I'm just saying it can start any time. And if they want us to, if anybody's out there listening and wants us to beta test, we're more than willing to.
I'm more than happy to beta test that for you.
Man, it's going to be fun.
No charge.
No charge. We'll be glad to talk about it. It's awesome. All right. Good stuff. Excellent, excellent. I'm just going to get my show notes here, and I think we're just about ready. All right. Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Chad, for everything. As usual, excellent, excellent stuff to talk about. I love that, especially when we're used in publications without our permission. Just saying. Well, that's life.
Apparently I don't need my consent.
Apparently not. We can just use it, Mr. Gunman. I'm just saying.
Yep. Okay, go ahead. Right. How about just give me a heads up?
By the way.
You don't know me, but I just used your name.
Totally used you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Cool. Thanks for the heads up.
All right. Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show, and good stuff, good talk. That's what we like about Cash or Coffee. Anything goes, and sometimes you really find some interesting information. All right. Let's do this thing. And I thank you for coming on by and subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to thank Lisa from cash-advance.com. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Heart Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, wherever you are, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.